All right, welcome back to the Young Turks. We're doing a power panel on Friday night, and it's about to get more powerful. Joining us from the middle of Kansas, Brent Welder and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. How's that for some powerful justice Democrats?
Hey.
Hey. All right, guys, I know that you're about to do a rally with a gentleman named, I believe it's Bernie Sanders. Is that correct?
Yeah, you may have heard of him.
Yes, right. Brent, how do you feel about these powerful progressives like Alexandria and Bernie coming to literally rally to your cause?
Well, how do you think I feel, Cenk? These are the two most inspiring progressive leaders in the entire country. I am blown away by the fact that they are here helping me out. I don't know if people realize, but they definitely should, what Alexandria has been able to pull off in this amazing election of hers has resonated and rippled across the country and even here in Kansas. It has given people hope for the first time in their lives, start having the conversation about these important issues. And thank you so much.
Yay, look at that, some just Democrats love. All right, I love it. So Alexandria, you're doing a three just Democrat tour there, right? You got James Thompson and Brent in Kansas and then Cori Bush in Missouri. Did James' rally happen already?
It happened earlier today, and it was unbelievable. The original venue met capacity with 10 hours, so we moved it, and 3,000 people showed up in the middle of Wichita on 1 p.m. on a Friday. So if there's anything that tells you the Midwest is fired up for the progressive movement, it's that.
So we keep getting told that, you know, it's amazing, Alexandria, you won. But these ideas, I mean, come on, aren't they really just big city ideas? Like, can they really work in Kansas? What do you think about that?
Well, what do you say, Brent?
Well, I'll tell you, when I embarked on this campaign a year ago, the Young Turks was one of the few people that was covering us, because so many people here, they said, you can't win in Kansas, talking about Medicare for all, $15 minimum wage, debt-free college, getting the corrupting influence of big money out of politics. But what I have found is that they are completely wrong. And in fact, it's looking like the only way we're going to win these tough races is by fighting for these kind of things. As you're probably well aware, I'm beating Kevin Yoder by 7 points in the polls. It's the largest lead of any Democrat challenger in the country. And the TYT Army and people across Kansas and across the country have gone to tytkansas.com to help fund our campaign. We have a big primary here in 3 weeks, that's so important. And if we win that, we are well on our way to beating this right-wing Republican congressman right here in Kansas on the issues that progressives care about most.
Mm-hmm. And what I will say is that we can see that the administration is scared right now, because I think Trump sent out a tweet about your opponent just the day before we happened to show up. So I think that something's resonating up there.
My Republican opponent is helping fund Donald Trump's border wall, believe it or not. And Donald Trump tweeted out just yesterday thanking him for that and endorsing him. And that's what we're up against here. But with Alexandria's help and with Senator Sanders' help today at this rally, we're going to be able to get the message.
Did I hear my name being mentioned?
Oh, no! Here comes Bernie Sanders!
Hey, guys.
How is this for progressive all-stars?
Wow.
These guys are doing great. And I think we are together going to turn this state blue. And I think what Alexandria and Brent said is that what we find is here in Kansas and all over this country, the needs of working people are exactly the same. People in Kansas need affordable child care. People in Kansas need health care. They need to be able to send their kids to college. And that's what he's talking about. That's what Alexandria is talking about. That's why he's fit. So I'm very happy to be here with you. See ya.
Thank you so much.
He's clearly a busy man.
How's that for super friends?
That was that was rude of that guy just to come in the middle of that interview.
Okay, so.
Well, I'll tell you, I was so inspired, and the thing that got me so inspired to organize for Bernie Sanders and to run for office was that he was able to run a strong campaign while rejecting corporate PAC money. And a year ago, I made that pledge. I'm not going to take corporate PAC money. Since then, hundreds of candidates, including incumbent members of the House and U.S. Senate, have made that same pledge. Meanwhile, my opponent is raking in corporate PAC money beyond levels that you could ever believe. But we have had 15,000 people across this country volunteer for us, donate. Wow. You can go to tytkansas.com. It's so important. We need the resources. We have a huge field team we need to fund. Tytkansas.com. If everybody can go there, I know we're going to win this race here in 3 weeks and then go on and beat Congressman Yoder in November as well.
So there's nothing I love more than this. I do want to ask one more question, but it's like I'm interviewing Batman and Wonder Woman, and then Superman shows up. Okay, so the Justice League, if you will, which makes sense. And I know TYTKansas.com is going to help pay for that rally too, so that's a great point. But I wanted to ask about the op-ed that Lieberman did earlier in the week. So Joe Lieberman, who famously ran against a Democrat and is against unity in the Democratic Party, encouraged Joe Crowley to do likewise, to run against a Democrat, which is you, Alexandria. You won that seat, etc. So putting aside Crowley and his intentions, Lieberman's thesis was that you're too far outside the mainstream, that in fact, you need people like Crowley, who he said could work with Republicans. And so that if you have centrists running in places like Kansas, Brent, that is a better way, path to victory, to be closer to Republicans than it is to be more progressive as you two are. So Alexandria and Brent, how do you guys respond to that?
Well, I can't tell you, Cenk, how many letters I've been receiving from registered Republicans, people who identify as libertarian and all over the political spectrum since our win here in New York 14, because the desire to get money out of politics is bipartisan. The desire to have grassroots and fully accountable leadership is completely bipartisan. And it's all right if we disagree on issues. That's why we have 435 seats in Congress. We're not all going to be the same person, but we all should be legislating with a value of full accountability to our communities without the influence of corporations and lobbyists. And I think, you know, I am ready to go for the general election because I believe that the 3 million independent and unaffiliated voters in New York State, I think a lot of them will side with us.
Well, and I'll tell you, you know, if my memory serves me correctly, Joe Lieberman, didn't he endorse, was it John McCain against Barack Obama?
Yes.
And now he's going to tell the Democrats what to do. Here's the thing. You want to know how strong of a candidate she is? She just won an election in a district she wasn't running in. I have a feeling the Democrats like her quite a bit.
Well, and thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate it. I know you guys have a rally to do with Senator Sanders. I just got to say, that's why Brent Welder's race is so important. And honestly, James Thompson as well, another Justice Democrat. If two Justice Democrats who are running uncorrupted, no corporate PAC money, just like Alexandria, just like Bernie Sanders, if you guys went in the middle of Kansas running on a deeply progressive platform on exactly what Alexandria said, economic dignity. It's one of my favorite quotes and one of the favorite platform planks I've ever seen, what Senator Sanders talked about in his corporate power town hall earlier this week. If you run on economic dignity and you run on progressive values and you win in the middle of Kansas, you'll have turned Washington upside down. Because that conventional wisdom that Lieberman pushed is totally wrong, and you guys get to prove it in Kansas. So Brent Welder, thank you for joining us. Alexandria, thank you for helping all those other progressive candidates. And of course, Senator Sanders, we thank him as well for going
That's
to Kansas.
That was. It was Bernie Sanders. That's
yes, Ben, it was Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, figure it out.
Thank you so much. We can use all the help we can get these last 3 weeks. That's why Alexandria is here. Bernie Sanders is here. Please, if you're in the area, volunteer for our campaign and go to tytkansas.com. In fact, this rally today, because there's so many people coming, is going to cost my campaign $15,000.
Oh,
so we need to make up that money at least so it doesn't affect our voter contact over the next few weeks. But these are the two most inspiring leaders that I know of in this country, and it just means so much to me. And thank you to you, Cenk, and TYT, and all the progressives around the country that have our backs, because we feel the winds behind us every single day.
Absolutely.
On this mission.
It takes those early people who believe that can really be the seeds of this movement, and that has been the Young Turks, that has been the people who have supported this campaign. Make sure you carry Brent through to the general election, tytkansas.com. Every action matters, every dollar, every phone call. Make sure you support him, because we're going to flip this seat in November and no one's going to see it coming.
All right, excellent. Except, of course, the Young Turks audience who just saw it. All right, you guys are the best. Thank you so much.
All right.
And I want to say one last thing to the audience. If you want to watch the rallies, it's we cover almost all the rallies on facebook.com/rebelHQ. And you, earlier today, you could have seen the James Thompson rally there. You can see Brent's rally there right now, facebook.com/rebelHQ. And then on Saturday, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is going to go rally with Cori Bush. And she's another Just Democrat. That's at 7 o'clock local time. And you can also see that on facebook.com/rebelHQ. Thank you to everybody involved. We'll be right back. Drop it. All right, back on the Young Turks. New power panel for you guys. Ben Mankiewicz, Cenk Uygur, Brett Ehrlich, and Brooke Thomas. Hey, woo! Brooke's gonna drive today. So hold though, let me read some comments, because you guys were excited as we were about our surprise guests. Your mama writes in, damn, they did say surprise a mother. And I can't say the rest. But we appreciate your enthusiasm. I'll also clean up the Mad Lib a little bit. Oh, damn, it's a Bernie bomb. Too strong. And then Sasha Henriksen says, this interview was the encouragement we all needed. Then Dan writes in, when do I get my t-shirt? Okay. You know why? Because Dan, an hour ago, predicted that the three surprise guests would be Brent Welder, Ocasio-Cortez, and Bernie Sanders. Nice job. I believe in predictions, so Dan, you get a free t-shirt. Okay.
Well done. Very well done.
ShopTYT.com for all our shirts, including the Bernie So Punk shirt that John Iderola was wearing in the last hour.
Oh, that's a good shirt.
Okay. And then last one is from YouTube Super Chat. KSHD Jack says, I was there with Bernie, James Thompson, and Ocasio-Cortez in Wichita. Keep it up. Been with all the Just Democrats from day one, and will be all the way to victory. I'm telling you right now, Ocasio-Cortez was an earthquake. But if Brent Welder and James Thompson win in the middle of Kansas, that will be earthquake number two. Where they'll be like, no, and even Nancy Pelosi was like, no, dismiss the progressive victory. It's just demographics, just a bunch of Latinos and black people voting. But we're not really like that. If it turns out, no, you idiot, it's actually the whole country, and they actually care about economic dignity, and they care about health care, and they care about policies, and they care about the uncorrupted, then Brent and James win in Kansas, it'll be inarguable. They can't make the case anymore. Let's just be Republican light. That'll lead to victories. No, being strong progressives lead to victories. You guys can make that possible. Make sure you vote. Volunteer for their campaigns. Cori Bush is great in Missouri. Kanyella Ng is wonderful in Hawaii. Another huge underdog could shock the world. Allison Hartson went to go help him after Ocasio-Cortez. Do everything you can, tytkansas.com, justicedemocrats.com/candidates, to check them all out. If there's one in your neighborhood, to volunteer for the Hawaii race, no matter where you live, you can make calls, allisonhartson.com/now. And the last one, to help Kanyella Ng with his funding as well, to hire the staff, justicedemocrats.com/Kanyella Ng. So thank you guys, you guys are amazing. That's what makes it happen. That's why they showed up for you guys. All right, now. Lots of news in the second hour, so Brooke, take it away.
All right, so first up, the NFL is hitting pause on its new national anthem protest policy. You'll remember back in May, the NFL announced they would fine teams if players were out on the field during the anthem and did not stand. So here's a statement sent jointly from the NFL and the NFL Players Association. It says in part, no new rules relating to the anthem will be issued or enforced for the next several weeks while these confidential discussions are ongoing. It goes on to say our shared focus will remain on finding a solution to the anthem issue through mutual good faith commitments outside of litigation. Now, both the NFL and the NFL Players Association had announced that they had been working towards a resolution on this policy, but according to ESPN, the policy suspension announcement was pushed up because of a decision made by the Miami Dolphins organization just yesterday. They had followed up with the NFL announcement with their own announcement, kind of an increased punishment, saying that if players protest, they also faced a 4-game suspension. And so that's where we are now.
Yeah, so the Dolphins tell ESPN, or at least sources within the Dolphins, no, we're not going to really suspend players for 4 weeks. We just have to put the maximum punishment out there because we can then downgrade it later, but it's harder to upgrade. I don't know if that's true, but that's at least the claim they're making.
Right.
Their policy got leaked.
Yes.
That's what happened.
Right.
And then they were scrambling because they looked terrible. And in fact, it looked so terrible that the NFL called the NFLPA, and the NFLPA has essentially bailed the NFL out.
Yeah, so the Players Association doing a good job here, as they should, defending the players. But look, there's two things about this story that drive me crazy. One is, of course, the owners siding with the bully, Donald Trump, when in the beginning they didn't even agree with him, even though they're billionaires and they're largely incredibly right-wing. And yes, they might have been annoyed that the players were taking knees, and they're annoyed at anything that might ever cut into their profits. I understand that. But for a brief moment, a lot of them knelt with the players and actually seemed to empathize with other Americans. And that was a lovely moment. And then Trump bullied them, and they gave in. And it was one of the most pathetic things I've ever seen. Here's a bunch of incredibly powerful men in the country that are almost all billionaires, and they get cowed by Donald Trump. Why? Not just because of personality issues, because Donald Trump did something that was potentially unconstitutional. He challenged their tax breaks, and I don't think they should get the tax breaks, but that is what he did to punish their freedom of speech. And that's what makes it unconstitutional. And they collapsed, and they caved, and then they did this deeply wrong and hurtful policy. Because remember what this is about. The protest is about, please don't shoot unarmed black men. It's not a big ask. It's not, hey, we don't like the troops. It's not, hey, don't go into wars in Iraq or Syria. It has nothing to do with the troops. It's about cops, and it's not saying cops are bad. It's just saying, can you please stop shooting unarmed black men? Can we look into the issue of clear police violence in this country? And it's spitting in their face to do this policy and to do it in this way. And the second thing that drives me crazy, real quick, is the assumption, not just by the owners, but by the press, that everyone, that the overwhelming majority of the fans don't like the players taking a knee. That's actually not true. In fact, there's polling to show that 58% of Americans think that it is freedom of speech and should be supported.
Not in the workplace.
Yeah.
A lot of veterans who fought for that right.
That's right.
The original policy, they reached out to a Green Beret, and he said taking a knee is a sign of respect in certain military situations.
Colin Kaepernick sat at first and then consulted the Green Beret and told him to kneel.
No, they agree.
Yeah, and so Americans actually don't mind it, but they assume, since some angry right-wing white men don't like it, that they speak for all of us. Mm-hmm. They do not speak for all of us. And so when they say, we are going to punish you if you do freedom of speech, first of all, it exposes the right-wing hypocrisy. They have never, ever believed in freedom of speech. All they've ever believed in is their speech and shutting you up. And second of all, it is a slap across the face to the majority of Americans and football fans who think that, yes, whether you're white or black or whatever color you are, you as an American have every right to speak out for your political opinions and social policy issues. And in fact, that's exactly what our troops fought for.
Yeah, and just the ridiculous reason that they gave, which is the paperwork was due. Our paperwork was due, we had a deadline. The Dolphins. The Dolphins, when it got leaked, and then to cover themselves, they're saying, oh, yeah. The paperwork was due at 4 o'clock p.m. on this day before the rookies took the field. So sorry, we'll work out the fine details later. But in the meantime, trust us that we won't go too far, even though they have it on the, they wanted initially to have it on the books, so there was a 4-game suspension for this.
I like that, Jake, that you brought up why the players are protesting, because we have to keep reminding people of that, because the more we get to this part of it, this part, now we're talking about punishments from their bosses, and people are forgetting, or just they're trying to make us forget what the original reason for this is, because it's ridiculous to be against what they're protesting for.
It's not just that they're forgetting what it's against, what it was really for. It's they're trying to turn it into something else, which is protesting the flag, protesting America, taking it into something that it is very consciously not, but since it is kneeling during the anthem. A couple things that are worth mentioning, I think. First of all, Colin Kaepernick, 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions in 2016, somewhere around the 15th or 16th best quarterback in the league.
Still no job.
Doesn't have a job. Doesn't have a job. Eric Reed rates out in some ways as the 5th best safety in the league last year, and he's like 27 years old. He's in the prime of his career. But he kneeled every game with Kaepernick, and he kneeled every game last year. Doesn't have a job. That's outrageous.
And illegal and obvious collusion, mm-hmm. and they are suing them, and they should get so much money that they could own an NFL team.
And so there's a couple of good guys. Well, there's at least one good guy here. So oddly enough, his dad, Woody Johnson, was the owner of the Jets, and he's now the United States ambassador to the UK because he has a rich history in diplomacy. but his son is running the Jets, Christopher Johnson. And Christopher, I don't know Chris Johnson's politics at all, but he said, I'm going to pay every fine that any of my players get if they take a knee.
It's one of the best things an owner has
incredibly ever simple, straightforward. I would love to see this has been primarily, almost overwhelmingly, an issue of black athletes, understandably, where this is, the issue is violence perpetrated by cops against unarmed black men, mostly, not exclusively, some women. And so, but it would be nice. If I was thinking before the Dolphins thing got preempted by the NFLPA and the NFL making this deal, and I don't mean to call Ryan Tannehill, the Dolphins quarterback, out here. I don't know what his politics are either. But if you're going to suspend somebody for 4 games, and this is outrageous, this is wrong. So how about the white quarterback of a team take a knee with those black players?
Yeah.
And look, say, all right, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Suspend me for 4 games.
And so Look, LeBron James has been fantastic in so many different issues, but I was upset that he didn't do a protest about the shooting of a 12-year-old kid in Cleveland when he played in Cleveland, right? And totally unarmed, it was outrageous. They shot him in 2 seconds flat. Yes. And so but I'm being too harsh because he's spoken out in other ways.
Yes.
But as I look at the NFL, I was saying this, and I said it last year as well. Aaron Rodgers. I know Tom Brady is roughly conservative, but it doesn't matter, man. This isn't about being conservative or liberal. It's about you play with all these, with African Americans, with Latinos, with just human beings. Stand up for them.
Jews. You play with a lot of Jews.
Well, not as much, Ben. I got to be honest with you. Huh. But if Aaron Rodgers and Brady and those guys took a knee, it would be so powerful. But as I was reading this today, I thought, you know, what would be amazing and would really, I think it would galvanize the country, and I think it would show incredible strength, is if all the Dolphins came out and took a knee and say, what are you going to do? Suspend the whole team for 4 weeks? Have at it, Hoss. You're not going to do that.
I mean, that's what a lot of us were hoping for after the president called them SOBs, I think. Mm-hmm. For there to be Sunday full of players on their knees, I think, just in support of each other. But players are protesting in their own ways. And LeBron isn't protesting the exact same way as Colin Kaepernick, but he has been overwhelmingly vocal about, I mean, outside of even his own league.
And he
called the president a bum.
He did. You know? And he's been bolder and stronger than many others.
Yeah. Because,
and by the way, he has the leverage to be able to do that.
Someone spray painted the N-word on his house.
Yeah, that's right. But look, and after a lot of that was after the Tamir Rice shooting.
Yes.
And so I was very animated about that. And I think everybody gets it. I'm sure he was very upset about it too. But since then, he's been wonderful.
Yeah.
And the special flavor of incompetence of the NFL versus other leagues that have been able to handle this by listening to their players and communicating properly and not making it this ridiculous.
And real quick, because I know we've talked about it a lot, but we've moved, like the issue has now been hijacked from the players who were eager to support, to take a stand and raise awareness about police brutality against unarmed black people, right? Because now what we're asking for is the league to stand with players for their right to have that protest in the first place. So no matter where you stand on this, and obviously everybody, I'm assuming 100% of American football players are fans of America and believe in the flag. It has nothing to do with that, but the time has come to stand up to bullies. These guys are bullies. And I think I sense today, maybe from the NFL, some recognition that they're on the wrong side of this. I hope we'll see.
And I'm pretty sure the people involved with football are supposed to be tough guys. So you're going to let a bully like Trump bully you around? I mean, how tough are you?
Yeah. I had faith that the NFL was going to come back with that, you know, realization that they had done wrong. And then they gave us this policy that they were going to fine people. So I don't know. Every time they never cease to admit.
No, this joint statement was the first good sign. They recognized that the Dolphin story was a bad story, and they
but what do you think is going to happen if they're like, we'll let the teams make their own decisions?
Yeah, right.
It was to set this up to happen.
Right. Yeah. If I read something interesting, if Roger Goodell can't solve this by opening day, then he doesn't deserve to be commissioner. Like, it's a big issue.
Yeah, watch the draft. When the draft happens, he takes the stage and everyone, boo.
That's part of being
no one likes Goodell. Yeah. His job isn't to solve this by draft day. His job is to make the owners happy by draft day.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
Let them do their protests. It's called America. Okay. Well, let's do the next
story. Next up.
Yeah.
Americans can legally download 3D printed gun instructions starting August 1st, so next month. So this all started back in 2013. Gun rights activist Cody Wilson, who by the way describes himself as a post-left anarchist, he posted plans for a 3D printed gun he calls the Liberator. Anyway. Right after he posted this, the US State Department told him to take down the plans. It said the plans could violate international traffic in arms regulations, which regulate the export of defense materials, services, and technical data. Now, Wilson took the plans down, but then sued the federal government in 2015. The Obama administration fought that, but just 21 days ago, the current government settled. Alan Gottlieb is with the Second Amendment Foundation. They helped with the case, and he said, we asked for the moon, and we figured the government would reject it, but they didn't want to go to trial. The government fought us all the way, and then all of a sudden, folded their tent. And I just want to just point out a couple things about this situation we have, these 3D printed guns. They have no serial numbers, so essentially they are untraceable. Plans will also be available for AR-15 lower receivers, complete Beretta M9 handguns. Users can also share their own designs for other guns. And it is going to be available on the internet, which means state actors or rich criminal cartels across the world will also have access.
Great, yeah. Now,
great. That's all right.
Yeah, wonderful. Now, not only will we have more guns, more shootings, but we won't be able to trace any of it.
Right.
So we'll have a harder time figuring it out. This will help criminals, and I guess gun rights activists are thrilled. And okay, here's one easy question: if you're a good guy with a gun, why do you need an untraceable gun?
Right. Why do you need to be able to buy a machine that can help you make one in your house? Like, come on.
Yeah, and
because it's regulate a nice little project, don't you see?
I mean, it's DIY, man. It's
right.
Cool.
Right.
We regulate weapons in this country. First of all, that quote that Brooke had up there about about exporting the law that it violated,
mm-hmm.
right? Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, only the government is allowed to export billions of dollars of weapons to some of the most brutal dictators in the world. That's just
that. Please
know your role. Right.
That's what we do, man.
Not saying it can't happen. Just saying.
This is fascinating. Seeing where like the money shakes out on this,
mm-hmm.
because the money for people from the government who want to sell their guns, then the NRA backing the gun manufacturers, this cuts into their profits.
Yes.
You want to see how the NRA is going to respond to that? Well, we're selling more bullets. Maybe that bullet lobby's behind it. I don't know where it shakes out. And right now I want to know, where is the overlap in that Venn diagram of like person who wants to make a gun and person who has a 3D printer? Like, is that a real like overlap? Like, it's mostly like people who want to do like fun art projects.
My hunch is the NRA will come out against this in the name of safety, right? As a sign that, hey, we take a stand on some things. I'd be curious.
But not the untraceability thing, because a lot of the people who are in the NRA are like, I don't want you taking down a national gun registry. I don't want you to be able to track my gun.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. No, I'm with Ben. But we'll see, right? Because I think the NRA doesn't actually care about gun rights. They just care about how many guns can the gun manufacturers that they represent sell.
Yeah, that's who they represent.
And this cuts into their sales. That's why I was actually surprised. I was not surprised that the Trump administration
folded its tent.
No, overall. But but I was in this case. I was not surprised that for 2 years they continued an Obama policy and fought it through the courts, which they almost never do. But I thought, yeah, of course, because the NRA told them, no, that one, no, that is unacceptable. That's the one safety
issue,
right? But they did, to be fair to them, they did stop fighting it here. So I guess that's a sign they're not controlled by the NRA.
Also, because the settlement is better than a legal decision that creates precedents for future.
Brilliant.
I'm very curious where the NRA is on this and where they've been. Believe me, they've been consulted. But you know, again, this is crazy. No, first of all, I don't understand the concept of a 3D printer. In any way, I mean, I like faxing. I don't understand how
it's like
it knows to come out at the other end. How does it know?
It goes, so these are great questions. Yeah.
How does it?
Finally, Ben nails down the real issue.
How does
faxing?
It, how does it know?
Ten years too late, Ben.
I'm going to master my fax machine, and then I am going to fax
stuff. It's over for the rest of you.
Oh, Ben has something to say.
Back to guns in America.
We already regulate guns in America. We have it. I don't understand why. No rational person thinks somebody should be able to print a gun on their 3D printer and make it and go out and use that gun. Nobody. No rational person. If you think it, you're irrational. You can't buy. But I mean,
it's the premise of In the Line of Fire.
I was going to say it's John Malkovich. John Malkovich does it. He builds that gun. He had to buy a magazine.
This is so crazy.
He had to do it. God, that movie's good. I read that John Malkovich said he makes movies like In the Line of Fire to go make the movies he likes doing, like being John Malkovich, right? Mm. And I thought, that's an insult to In the Line of Fire.
It is.
You don't understand. It's a great movie. No, it is irrational to think that this is okay. You are an irrational person if you think that's okay. You are no more rational than someone who thinks you ought to be able to go to the store, save up your allowance, and buy a bazooka, or buy an anti-tank weapon, or buy an anti-aircraft weapon, because those are arms, and you have the right to bear arms. But we acknowledge that we can't do that. So we have a standard where we restrict people's ability to purchase weapons. We as rational people can decide that this is also included in that standard.
So let me just explain their point of view for 1 second, and then explain also why that makes even less sense. So this guy that brought the suit in the first place and began the plans, Cody Wilson, describes himself as a post-left anarchist. I have no idea what that is.
Right.
Yeah, right. If you're post-left, does that mean you're right?
Did he start on the left? Is he one of those switching sides guys?
Yeah.
Like hashtag?
Maybe it means Dave Rubin. I don't know.
No, he's not going to say. He's just a traditional liberal.
Yeah, right. Classic liberal.
He's a classic. He's like Glenn Beck and Dave Rubin. He's a classic liberal.
Right. Anyway, but the point is, in being fair to their point of view, is they say, no, this is to fight against the government. So if the government is coming to take away our rights, that's the whole reason why we don't want the guns traced. Because if the government traces them, then they'll have an easier time finding us in the woods. Yeah, good luck with that. Okay, so, and understand, not only is it's funny that you think you're gonna beat the United States military, but let's also note that you think you might be shooting and killing people in the United States military. And I would venture to guess that some of these people are also the people who are offended that Colin Kaepernick takes a knee during the anthem. But then says, I would like to murder people in the military just in case, if I have to, I need an untraceable gun to kill all the people in the military, right?
Isn't that weird how that overlaps?
Yeah, it is kind of you know why? Because they're post-logic anarchists.
You're right.
Okay.
Now it makes sense, actually.
Right.
You're right.
Right. So, and understand that these people are preparing to murder government officials. Now, you say it's because in that scenario, it's not now, it's in that scenario, you would have to agree to disagree. I think that the way to fight back is through politics, through the Constitution, through our democracy. And if you're preparing in the woods to murder government officials with your plastic gun, you're a lunatic. And there's a good reason why the government should be able to trace your weapons. And yes, of course we can regulate. Not only does it say it in the Second Amendment, even though you guys, again, you've lost sight of logic and apparently the English language, but you obviously cannot have a rocket-propelled grenade. We cannot let everybody walk around with an RPG. And if you say, oh yeah, of course we should. How about nukes? Should we let everybody have a nuke? Because then we would be safer. Then should we let Iran have a nuke? Because then we would be safer, according to your logic, right?
And if you let these guys have these guns, they will go out fishing. And when somebody asks to borrow the gun and to look at it, they will turn and shoot them, just like John Malkovich did.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
And we have it. It's on tape.
Yep. Yeah. The documentary. Yeah. In the Line of Fire.
That's right. There's a line in the trailer for In the Line of Fire where you hear Eastwood listening to his message, and you hear Malkovich say, and I see you standing over the body of another dead president. And Eastwood is loading his gun and then he puts the cartridge in, and then he looks at the camera and he goes, "That's not going to happen." And it wasn't in the movie, and it's so good.
Oh my
God. Yeah, I hate when they take stuff out from the trailer.
I think it was just shot. Just shot for the trailer.
I'll put it in the movie somewhere. Anyway, we gotta go. All right, we got a lot more great stories for you guys, including Roseanne Barr decides that she's gonna go back to mental. That's fun.
Oh.
Okay, we'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks, just a couple comments for you. Sean Kelly writes in on YouTube Super Chat, "If you hear someone complain about how much NFL players get paid, inform that having a union that actually represents workers makes a difference."
Good move.
Right.
Okay. Solid move.
I'll tell you the unions that work. The NFL union, the police union.
Oh, right. Yeah, that is the... union of all unions. Yeah. Okay.
Major League Baseball Players Association, greatest union in the history of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Robert Erickson writes in again on YouTube Super Chat, this time 1,000 Swedish kroners. Wow, thank you, Robert. He says 1,000 more kroner, that's by the way $113.
Wow.
"As a member from the start of the announcement of Bernie Sanders as a presidential candidate, I hope this contribution will help. I can also send quote, Salty Ben some DVDs starring Meryl and maybe add ABBA's greatest hit." So that's okay. Thank you, Robert.
You know,
yeah, don't do that.
Get out of the movie.
All right. And by the way, guys, membership is what makes all this possible. The super friends you saw earlier with Bernie Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez and Weldon, et cetera, it's all because of our members. If it was not for our members, we couldn't be here. So we're home of progressives. You get all the progressive programming ad-free, and you make the show possible. So tyt.com/join to become a member. Thank you, guys. All right, Brooke, what's next?
Roseanne Barr is next. Roseanne Barr is still defending her racist tweets about Valerie Jarrett. And you know what? I don't have a word for it. Just take a look.
"I'm trying to talk about Iran. I'm trying to talk about Valerie Jarrett wrote the Iran deal."
"I know, but you've told me this 300 times. Do you know that if..."
"That's what my tweet was about."
"I know, you've explained this literally 300 times."
"I thought the bitch was white. God damn it! I thought the bitch was white."
So this is from a mock interview posted on Roseanne's official YouTube page. Of course, Valerie Jarrett is a black woman. She worked for the Obama administration. Barr has also gone back and forth between apologizing for these comments and defending them. I think it's obvious we're back on defending them. This caused her to lose her job on her own show.
Seems to have not affected her much, losing that show. Seems she's pretty well adjusted in this post-Roseanne reboot state.
Mm-hmm. Who smokes still? Everyone who still smokes blows me away.
Yeah. I think what she's smoking is the most.
Oh, yeah. All right,
fair point.
So I like Ben always finding the most salient point.
Yeah.
Ben looks at that video and goes, "Smoking's the problem."
There's
a moment.
Okay, so let's note a couple of things here. Okay. First of all, she says she's good now. It was the Ambien that did it originally. Does she look good to you?
Oh, okay. My God.
Secondly, and here's the bizarre part, it's posted on her YouTube page.
She's proud of this.
So there's a way that you could have avoided this by not posting it.
Well, I mean, you know, it struck me. I right away thought she was kidding.
Uh-huh. Not in that one.
I thought in this one she was kidding. Like I thought this, and it was, so I assumed it was a mock. I mean, I don't think it was a successful kid. Right? I wouldn't be like, "Oh, bravo, well done."
Yeah.
It's just so unlike the comedy she's done.
Yeah, that's true.
The comedy she's done has been like, "This is what it's like to be housewife." And like, "Yeah, you forget about that stuff. I'll diffuse this moment with a joke."
Right, not, "I thought the bitch was white."
Not like, right. Eyes get noticeably more open as she's shaking her head as she's shouting it.
Yeah.
It's not her comedy to do this.
And by the way, if you thought Valerie Jarrett was white, why did you say that she's a mix of the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes? Mm-hmm. So, like, what about being white would trigger that tweet? Is there a stereotype about whites being like apes and Muslim Brotherhood that unfamiliar with?
Valerie Jarrett is of mixed heritage. She's like half European and half black. Both her parents are mixed in the same way, I think. Mm-hmm. She was born in Iran to non-Iranian parents, right? They were just working there. So that's their hook, that she secretly wrote the Iran deal that diplomats wrote, not a political advisor to the White House. But the notion that she was mistaken about Valerie Jarrett, given the context of the joke, is just a lie. That's just made up.
That I think she's convinced herself in this terrible, sad way. Like, no, I did think that.
Right, yeah.
And she's gonna stick to it because look at what she's already lost. Because of the obvious racist overtones of what she said.
Yeah, she said in other interviews, I horribly regret it. I've lost everything. And she went on to say, so first of all, you might say, yeah, you regret it because you lost everything. Not because you actually regret the statement. Right. But it's possible that it's both.
Everything.
Yeah. Well, look, I don't know how much of her previous fortune she blew, but does it seem like she might be a rational actor that might save money for the future? I don't know, probably not. But she said, I know I've done wrong, I'm willing to accept what the consequences are, and I do and I have. Now, that's when she was trying to, you know, do the right, and then she posts this, and apparently she hasn't learned anything and doesn't think it was wrong.
Now, there's another video posted on the same channel, roughly the same time, where it's a minute long statement. And at the end, she says the reason that she's been taken down is because she voted for Donald Trump and you're not allowed to do that and work in Hollywood.
They gave you the show.
After chance,
this is not the first black woman she has called a monkey.
That's right.
Yeah.
Chance after chance.
She thought they were all white.
I'm like, oh my goodness.
Right now, Roseanne's going, why is that white woman criticizing
me? Right.
If you want to, I think everyone owes it to themselves to fully explore the Roseanne Barr YouTube channel.
This little PSA right here.
Because I did it. It has 23,000 subscribers right now. And not only does it have these two videos, but it also features just stuff she did before, which includes a series called Calling All Kids Music. So on the same channel where she's going, I thought the baby, she's also like, it's tough to be a kid. Hey, kids, come around. And it's just her whole music video. And there is also a video, I'm not kidding, where she teaches women how to pee standing up.
Oh, well, now you've given me an incentive
right.
to go
I'm,
see it.
I'm like, wait,
all
what's
this
that?
More, YouTube.com/Roseanne Barr.
Okay.
This is crazy.
But I don't want to bring it too far down, but.
It's down.
Yeah.
But it's not your fault.
No, I think she has mental issues. I really do. I think she's had them for a long, long time. And so that's in some ways obviously enormous mitigating factor. But also for the people who are her fans, like if you didn't know, that's okay, but now you know. And if you're still supporting someone who literally has mental issues, what do you have?
Yeah, you might be right. But the salient point, the only point that is dangerous is the idea that she got her show taken down, the point that Brett made that her show was taken away because she voted for Trump. And the fact is she got the show, the recreation of the show, the reboot of the show, after a series of horrendous tweets already, as Brooke mentioned, essentially doing the same thing to other black women making that same joke. So her Twitter feed and her public statements prior to getting the reboot of the show are the kind of things that cost James Gunn a job. If they'd applied those standards then, she never would have gotten the show in the first place. And it was only once again recrossing a line that ABC finally drew a line that they probably should never have opened up themselves to in the first place.
Okay.
And super last thing is that I think there's some chance she got the show because Trump won. So
I think they made that statement that we need after the election, they sat down and focused on programming to middle America, to this forgotten group of people.
Yeah, to see.
Absolutely, yeah.
They in the show, she's a Trump supporter, I believe.
No, yeah, totally. Yeah,
And it is to, yeah, exactly.
But believe it or not, that's not the last yelling and screaming I've got for you today. You
great,
excited?
Great, excellent.
Mm-hmm. So Whoopi Goldberg shut an interview down on The View with Fox News host Jeanine Pirro. Of course, they were talking about President Trump and Pirro's new book.
Here's my question for you, because you talk about
I am not, Judge.
Nobody did you just point at me?
Yes.
Listen, I don't have Trump derangement. Let me tell you what I have.
Okay.
I have a lot of, I'm tired of people starting a conversation with Mexicans or liars and rapists.
Right, and it kept going. There's more.
One of the things that you talk about a lot, and I'm curious about it, is the deep state. How long has the deep state been there, and who's running it?
Well, I want to answer your question because you gave
your
opening statement, which was how horrible it is that Donald Trump is talking about all of these people.
You know what's horrible? You said that people shouldn't be here.
End up murdering the children of American citizens.
You know what's horrible?
What's horrible?
When the president of the United States whips up people to beat the hell out of people.
No,
say goodbye.
But it didn't stop there because there was drama backstage. And this morning, Pirro told her side of that story.
I left the stage going downstairs and I saw her and I had to walk by her. And I said, Whoopi, I fought for victims my whole life, something like that. And she started cursing at me.
What did she say? Tell everybody what she said without saying it.
She said,
blank you.
F you. F you. And I said, Whoopi, did you just say F you? I mean, she was right here. And then she said, get the F out of this building.
So problem with that is Whoopi says Pirro left out some key parts of the story.
No.
She was upset when she got here because Ana Navarro was here instead of Joy. And after the segment, which ended when it was supposed to, it was not early, it was not late, it ended when it was supposed to, she then called everybody at the table a name I cannot repeat on TV and said it in front of the audience. She came off, she could have just passed me. She didn't need to stop, but she stopped and put a finger in my face and yelled, I've done more for victims than you ever will. Then I said to her, some few choice words I cannot repeat. Yes, I did say it. I did say it. But I did not spit on her. I did not intimidate her. No one chased her out of here saying get out. But she did leave here cursing at the people who booked the show. She cursed at the guys who do the security for the show.
Now, since Whoopi brought up Ana Navarro, she actually jumped in on this too. She tweeted, I was there backstage at The View when this happened. I heard it. It is exactly as Whoopi Goldberg described it here. I was told Pirro, who I'd never met, didn't want me there. I was civil to her on and off camera. Now, can we go back to talking about how Trump is owned by Putin?
Navarro.
Yeah.
Nails the dismount.
All right.
Okay. Pirro, of course, tells a totally misleading story because she's a right winger. Of course, she's not going to tell you the whole truth. That's not what they do. But I think that the part that amuses me the most is what a snowflake she is.
So
I'm going to get back to Snowflake in a second, but I'm going to tell you, we can't say it on air, Whoopi can't say it on air, but you'll understand, obviously. Apparently, Pirro called all those people that she yelled at a sea sucker, okay? And so her not telling that part while going and crying on Hannity, like, I can't believe they cursed
it. She said it was abuse in her tweet. She called it abuse.
Right. But you left out the part where you cursed at them way, way worse. But that somehow that's your sense of how to do honest media, apparently. But to me, the more important part is she said she was abused. She said on Hannity, she was reeling from the encounter. And even look at that request not to have Navarro on. Why? What are you, a special little snowflake that's going to melt if you are in a same panel with Ana Navarro? And why don't you just go? Did you think that they were going to like agree with you just because you came on their program? Of course they weren't going to agree with you. I've been on TV a million times, and almost every time it's either conservatives or establishment people who don't agree with me. Ana did a panel at Politicon, which was 5-on-1, and she didn't complain, she just kicked their ass, right? But Pirro and the conservatives were like, I expected I was going to be treated like a queen, but I wasn't. Why didn't everybody agree with me?
Let me, the takeaway from here for me is this, and I notice it a lot on Twitter. Anytime a woman on Twitter says anything with a four-letter word, the cascade of, not very ladylike, Right-wingers do not like women to curse. They can't bear it. They can't stand it. I think it offends their sense of propriety for a woman. Like, you heard Hannity there. He's tell her what she said. A woman said F you. Like, and consistently, there are, you know, people I follow, few follow to on Twitter, who when they're hit by some right-wingers, they're like, hey, I got an idea. Go F yourself, jackass. Right? Mm-hmm. You know? And then the instant response is always, oh, nice mouth, lady.
The gaslighting in that I could have walked past her. I chose not to. I said what I had to say, but oh, scary black lady.
Right,
she yelled at me. Oh, can you believe it? I'm sick of that. I'm tired of that. And then you made a good point that this is not the whole truth. And it just takes me back to the fact that this woman is a former judge. This woman, who everybody is saying is lying about something so stupid, was responsible for justice.
Yeah,
it's just upsetting. Like, you know?
Her first name is Judge, actually.
No, you know what, Brooke? You made me glad for the first time that she's on Fox News, because that means she's not on the bench.
Yeah, you're right.
God, she's not a judge
Trump considered
anymore.
Considered her. I mean, she wasn't on the Federalist list, so she wasn't seriously considered to be on the Supreme Court. Trump considered that woman to be on the Supreme Court of the United States.
And by the way, she is currently lobbying for the Attorney General position.
Yeah,
the top. Investigative person, obviously, in the country.
We would have the top cop in the country be a TV host, the president be a TV host, and the top economic advisor in the country be a television host. That is insane.
Yeah, Jeannie Pirro's priority is access and paychecks. Those are the two things that she wants. So she does everything she can on camera during shows to not answer the questions she doesn't want to answer, but frame things the way she wants to frame them, not to advocate for anyone she purports to advocate for, but rather to get more access to the president and more paychecks from Fox and more status through access to the president, which will lead to maybe this attorney general thing that she wants, but at the very least to some lucrative speaking gigs and some kind of other hosting cred.
You know what, let me just say the last thing about that, because these speaking gigs, if you guys don't know, that's a huge scam on the right wing side. It does not exist on the progressive side. But on the right wing side, if you do propaganda for the rich or for multinational corporations, etc., they will pay you a ton of money to go speak all across the country. And so a lot of these people, with the antics they do on air, is so they can get lucrative book deals like Pirro got and lucrative speaking engagements. That's them raising their hand and saying, yes, sir, I'll do whatever you need, sir. What propaganda do you need, sir? So, and it's her assumption that she should be catered to. That's why if you notice, the harshest insults that she had, Pirro had, according to all the witnesses, was to the bookers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how dare you book me on a show where they would challenge me?
And on an appearance where she got everything she wanted out of that appearance. That was not a failure in her book. That was a success, because she gets to go on Hannity and complain.
Yep. All right. We're pretty much out of time.
Yeah.
We didn't get to the James Gunn story, but I'll tell you this. James Gunn was director of Guardians of the Galaxy. I know we were going to disagree on it a little bit, but the alt-right went after him. My theory is fruit of the poisonous tree. If Cernovich goes after you, not guilty.
You fight him. Yeah.
And so I'm sure that I'll speak out more about that next week and maybe even the weekend, because I probably can't contain myself. All right. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, Brooke. Everybody, check out Happy Half Hour 2 with Brett Ehrlich on YouTube TV. And have a great weekend, guys. And make sure you check out all the rallies at facebook.com/rebelhq. Bye-bye.